Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to this journey as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so not based on denominational dogma or some ideological philosophy, not based on my opinion or your opinion, but we face the issues based on the authority of the Word of God. When we look to the Word of God, we find truth. It's not a matter of truth and error. It's not a matter of some truth and some error. The Word of God is truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus himself said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, we need to do so based on the authority of the Word of God. Many times I find that even as Christians, oftentimes we make decisions based on our own impulse, our own philosophies and thoughts, disregarding what God would have us to do. One of the greatest things that a person can do is find the will of God, seek the will of God, and then fulfill the balance of his life, serving God, carrying out God's will for our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, part of that serving God, I believe, is wrapped up in part and parcel of what I call our American heritage. Our American heritage is simply put from the Youngblood philosophy. It is based on our founding fathers and our founding documents. And what we have today, ladies and gentlemen, is based on what our founding fathers have given us through our founding documents. And part of that is the right to vote, the opportunity, the freedom to vote. Do you realize multitudes of nations today are on the verge of totally being dismantled? And a large part of that is because they do not have a free right to vote. You can look at Venezuela and other nations like that and find that through a dictator regime where the people have no freedoms, you have the tyranny and you have the enslavement of the people as a result of that. But we in America still have the right to vote. But in voting, I want to ask you a question. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever voted or made a decision to do something and then you look back and say, "I'd sure like to have a do-over"? Well, I think that's what's happening right now, because we had the primary election back in March, and we're having the general election next Tuesday. That's the 14th. By the way, early voting is already well underway, and I would encourage you to do that. But ladies and gentlemen, let me say this before I forget it. If you'd like to call in this broadcast today and have dialogue and discussion with us, we're going to be introducing in a moment our guest today, but you can jot the number down, 831-0917, 831-0917 is your telephone number. That telephone number gets right through to our studios and right to our microphones so we can have dialogue and discussion today. And I'm looking forward to your involvement. Looking forward to your dialogue, your questions. And as I've said so many times, you can disagree, but we're not going to be disagreeable in doing so. But we'd love to have your input on what we're talking about today. But talking about voting, it is a very, very, very important part of the American system and our American life. Multitudes cast their ballots, and in casting the ballots, and I'm thankful that you voted in the primary, but in casting the ballots in the primary, may I simply say we elected some additional conservatives, I believe, for our city, for city leadership, and for the governance of our city. But I believe we have an opportunity now to have a redo, if you will, where we can go back and vote in the general election. They're not, but I think it's in the city council, three seats is up, and that is the Group 1, the Group 3, and District 14, I believe the only three elections. Well, it's actually Group 14, I believe it is District 14, and the Group 1 and Group 3 are the two that we have that are up for election now. And so I realize that it's a Many people will look at it that it's very small, and so therefore it's minuscule. And let me encourage you to go to the polls and vote, and every vote counts. And you've heard me say before when we talk about elections, back a number of years ago, one of our House of Representative members was elected by two votes. And I sat in his office on the day that he was sworn in as a representative in Tallahassee. And I said, Jay, you do realize that my vote, my wife's vote, put you in office. And he said, you'd be surprised. Hundreds have told me that. But every vote counts. And so I want you to understand that, and especially from conservatives. If you're listening to me and you consider yourself a conservative, you consider yourself a Christian, conservative Christians need to vote for God and for that which is godly, morals and ethics and values, especially when it comes to family values. But I have with me today on this broadcast Greg Rochelle. Greg is running for Group 3, City Council Group 3. It's on a citywide basis. As some have said in the past, and a number of years ago, one candidate said it's like running for mayor, but without the pay. And so Greg is having to reach out around the city. And with 840 square miles of city to reach out around, that's a pretty arduous task for a conservative Christian candidate to have to master. But I'm thankful that Greg is here with us today. And in a moment, I'll allow Greg to do some dialogue and discussion and allow you to call in and ask the questions if you'd like to. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, God created government. According to Romans chapter 1, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, God created government as his steward, as his slave, as his servant. So government is the servant of God, and as you study the Romans chapter 13 text, you find that government is designed by God to punish the evil and to protect the good. And so that's what I look for in every city council member. It's what I look for in a mayoral race. That's what I look for in any state or national race, though it would be those candidates. It's going to stand for godliness and protect good and prosecute and punish evil. And that's what government's all about. It's a hand of God. It's a steward. It is a steward. It is a servant of God. And that's what it's about. And ladies and gentlemen, in Group 3 of the City Council, we have an individual in that office now that I believe God has given us an opportunity as a redo, a do-over, to replace him. And Greg Rochelle is the one that I believe can do that. Greg, I am delighted to have you here today. It's a delight to have you on the set with us. Let me ask you to do this. Introduce yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Greg Rochelle. Greg is running for Group 3 City Council. Greg, if you would be kind enough to introduce yourself to our public, for our listeners that's listening today, tell us a little about you, and then we'll talk about the issues and your passions.
Well, thank you there, Dr. Youngblood. I'm pleased to be here. Let me say that first, and I'm very pleased to be here. My name is Greg Rochelle, and I am running for City Council at Large, which is Group 3. That means everybody in the city can vote for me if you're in Duval County and you're a voter. I'm a 20-year businessman. At least I've worked for corporate America. I was in human resource exec management type at a district level. And I'm also a veteran. I'm a veteran of
Amen.
Two. Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. I'm also a veteran of two branches of service. I served in the Marine Corps, and I also served in the Air Force.
Amen.
And I felt very pleased to have done that. I've been married for a number of 30 years. I have three children. And, you know, I've decided to make Jacksonville my home. You know, I care about my community.
Amen.
I care about the city. And I really want to make sure that our city is a place of destination of choice for people coming and growing, and I want our children to stay here for their careers and economic opportunities. Those are just a few things that I've done in the past.
In other words, you have a vested interest because your family's here, your roots are here.
I do, and I am currently an appointed commissioner for the tax revenue and expenditure for the city of Jackson. Have been doing that for a little over 2 years now,
mm-hmm.
and I've done a few other, you know, citizen things like work with CPAC, which is, you know, your citizen planning.
Yes.
And also have worked on the old Sheriff Advisory Council. So I've been engaged with kids and with the community at a volunteer level for a long time.
Amen. Well, that's one of the key elements, I think, ladies and gentlemen, is we look at someone that has a passion for our city, has his roots here, family here, wanting the best for our city and the betterment for our city in the future. Greg, if you would take just a moment, and if it's possible, just in a poignant way, tell our listeners, what is your passion for city government? What would you like to see accomplished that you believe God would have you to be a part of?
Well, I believe that, you know, public safety has been one of the issues that we've dealt with in the last few years here. And, you know, everybody wants to have communities to be safe. They want their cities to be safe. So public safety is a priority for me. Economic security. I mean, in other words, by attracting good jobs and good companies for our people and our development of our area, I think that's important. So again, economic quality of security is. And then I want to make sure I enhance our quality of life to all our citizens with programs and things, and just a good family value environment. So those are some of the things that I think that we can do. Yes, I'm fiscal conservative, but I also want to make sure that those quality of life things, our amenities, are for all people.
Yes.
And everybody can accept those.
Yes, I think it is your own target with that, Greg. It's one of the major things that gets my attention, because so often we have political leaders, as you know, whether it's in Jacksonville or any place in the state of Florida or across the nation. We have some of those that get elected in political office, and then they want to bifurcate the city or the citizens and start having special exceptions for some groups and special rights for other groups, et cetera, et cetera. That's just not good for any city. I believe it needs to be on the basis that it is viewed that all citizens are equal, and we need to treat them that way and provide benefits and services as to the degree that is permissible based on our city charter and the Constitution.
Well, our city has gone, not city, our country has gone through a tremendous area of growth when it comes to providing equal rights for people. And I think that we're there.
Yes.
I think where, you know, the city, the government, at the state and federal, being a former human resource person, I know that our laws and our compliances for corporate America kind of aligns with this federal government, and et cetera, et cetera. So I believe that, you know, those programs are there for us. So, yes, you're right. When it comes to our city, we want people to feel comfortable in their city and have opportunities for their families.
Yes.
These are things that are most near and dear to my heart.
When you say families, too, that is dear to me, because what we're watching across the nation is a disintegration of the family. We're watching a denigration of morals and ethics and values. We're seeing those that say that they're conservative, those that say that they're Christian, so often will be silent. And I believe this is the time, Greg, and I'm passionate about this. I believe we are at an era and a time in society, both nationally, statewide, and locally, where it's time for moral, ethical, conservatives, and Christians to take a stand. And that's what I'm wanting our listeners to understand today, is from your perspective as a conservative Christian, what you're wanting for our city is what we want for our city. What we're saying that our city needs from a conservative, moral, ethical, Christian standpoint is what I hear you saying that you want for our city. And I'm thankful for that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Greg Rochelle. Greg Rochelle is a candidate for Group 3 at large, City Council. You can call us at 831-0917. 831-0917. If you've got a question for Greg, by the way, it's not just your district, my district, it's for all of the city of Jacksonville. Group 3 covers our entire city. So Greg is wanting to represent you and represent me. Out of the 19 on city council, he will be one. And I'm looking forward to the completion of the election for next Tuesday, when we can celebrate with Greg for having won the election, the battle well carried out, and one. Greg, when we talk about running for office and your election, what would you say would be your top three priorities? Now, you can name four, you can name five. I just usually like to look at it as one, two, three. Maybe that's because as a preacher, I use 3 points in a poem. Not really, but what would be your top three priorities that you would want to see accomplished for our city when you're elected?
Well, again, you know, as I said earlier, you know, public safety is important. You know, when it comes to public safety, you know, you're looking at prevention, you're looking at enforcement, and you're looking at community involvement. I think those are the three things that drive public safety. It has to stay up, be a priority. When you come to prevention, you know, you have to put things in place so that persons who would maybe commit a crime would be deterred to do so.
Yes, sir.
We have to fund our law enforcement and their programs so that, you know, they're responsible for making sure that if criminal activities take care, they can approach it in the appropriate way that they need to approach it. And then finally on that, you know, community involvement is so, so important that, you know, whether it's our faith-based groups or nonprofit groups, yes, or whatever, we have to get engaged and involved, and no one needs to be afraid to step up and say, hey, this is what we need to do.
Yes.
It was once said that, you know, it's not that evil people do bad things. It's just that good people do nothing. So we have to step up, and we have to do that. So that's a priority. The second priority, like I said, is you know, we need to attract good companies and good paying jobs. And the reason for that is so that our families and even those who move into our city will have those opportunities. Jacksonville has always been a city of service.
Yes.
And we now need to take it to the next level, because I feel we're in an adolescence of growth here. And taking it to the next level means good paying jobs. So those are my priorities, really.
Yes.
Is making sure we're safe, our city being a destination of choice, and making sure we provide good economic programs and policies, and make sure we have jobs for our people.
That's well said. Greg, one of the things that perhaps you've already studied and looked at, and you may not have, but I'm familiar with it. We have about 840 square miles in Duval County, and 840 square miles, but yet with our police, and you talked about safety, and it boils down to our police protection. And I realize that that's a term that many are not anxious to talk about, because we have such an avid anger, it seems, across the nation against law enforcement. But that's the thin blue line protecting us, as law enforcement calls it. I have a number of family members that's with JSO, and so I'm very familiar with what's taking place in that realm. But you realize, and maybe our listeners do, that we have one police officer for every 10,000 people in Jacksonville. And with one police officer for every 10,000, this is the reason if you have a wreck on the road, if there's a problem, you call and you've got a 30, 45-minute, one-hour wait. So I reckon I'm boiling down to a question, Greg. Once elected and you're seated on city council, do you have any aversion to or anything against liberally funding the need for Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, Mike Williams, for him to be able to put the boots on the street that is so vitally needed for our city?
It's not just funding it. Yes, I do believe in funding it. I think that that's part of public safety. It's part of what we do for our community at our level. And legislating money and funding for those programs to keep our city safe is what part of our responsibility. But it's also finding the qualified people to do it. And that's where the education and the incentives of things of that nature for our public service comes into play. So yes, I have no problem funding that. I served when I was in the military, law enforcement. I was a law enforcement agent.
Good.
And so if you're familiar with how base works, it's a small community, and you still have the same issues and situations that develop.
Yeah, an army call them MP. I don't know what it is.
Well, we call them SPs in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Same thing. Military
same thing.
Police.
Military police.
And so you have to have that, and I think we have to have the budget to support that. So,
absolutely.
Yes, I agree with that.
I am thankful for that, because, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that's any more fundamentally important for a citizenry than to have a law enforcement that's going to protect the good and prosecute and punish the evil. And with that being said, Greg, I'm a Second Amendment rights person. I've had the privilege of writing and producing and publishing 12 or 14 books. One of them is the right of the doctrine of self-defense. Doctrine of self-defense was codified in the scripture, confirmed by our courts to be carried out by we the people. And yet there are a lot of folks, when there's a problem, just like now in Colorado, where they had the school shooting just yesterday, the media then jumps on that and says, we got to control the guns. Well, out of about 325, 330 million people in America, about 180 million own guns. And that's our Second Amendment right. And yet we have those that immediately after a shooting will say, we need to control weapons. We need to curtail the use of guns, etc. Greg, would you commit to our listeners that you stand with us on the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms?
Well, I believe in the Second Amendment, and I do stand on the right to keep and bear arms. I do believe that.
Yes. One of the things that, in that same vein, Greg, that if we enforce the laws we have on the books today. Most are not aware of the fact that out of some 40,000 plus applications for gun permits in 2017 that were rejected, several of them, in fact, several thousand, were known felons. And yet nothing was done as follow through to prosecute those. As a result of that, we have some of those that the liberal media like to call loopholes. It's not a loophole. We already have laws to control it. We just need to carry out the laws that's on the books. So I'm thankful to hear that. One of the things, too, that I'm passionate about, Greg, and some of our listeners may be also, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. If you have a question, we're talking with Greg Rochelle. Greg is running for Group 3 at large, City Council. And I'm recommending, by the way, that you vote for Greg. I don't have any qualms about that.
Too?
You recommend that?
Yes.
That's a second on that. So we'll carry it. It's carried. So let me urge you, even today, if you've not voted already, early voting is underway. Early voting ceases on Saturday and then picks back up with the final election on next Tuesday the 14th. And I think that we, the people, need to put people in office like Greg that's going to take a stand for the family and for God and for godliness. Greg, one of the things that, you know, was started here a year or so ago in our city was the movement, and it got some traction for a while, where there was a move to remove our heritage monuments. Now, realize that when you look at some of the monuments that we have from the 1700s, 1800s, and some of the policies, procedures, and the thoughts and the norms then, because so many things have evolved or devolved today, there's some that's against some of those that have they're monumented. That we have our monuments and looking back at history for them. Yet I don't believe that we need to try to tear down and destroy our heritage, our history. Would you make a commitment to our listeners today that you will stand with us to not remove and to protect our heritage monuments that we have in Jacksonville?
You know, I feel we're not students of history. We're destined to repeat it. And one of the things of being a person of color, you know, I'd love to walk through the park and see a statue and be able to have a conversation with my son or grandson someday and say, this is what has happened. If that statue is not there, I can't have that conversation.
Amen. You're right.
So I need to be able to point out some things. You know, our history has not always been the most pleasant. That's life. But it is our history, and you can't change history.
That's right.
So that's where I stand on that, is being able to have that conversation. Now, we should add to history. There may be some more statues we should put up, but we should add to history, not subtract.
Not diminish it. Absolutely. That's well said. Greg, here's an issue that I don't think that we've had a discussion on, and it's just popped up in the past couple of days. I believe the city council will be discussing it and perhaps defer it until you and others go in after the election. And that is the question of adding a half-cent sales tax. The Board of Education is wanting to do remodeling and merging some of the schools and building some new schools. And I understand the need for proper facilities for the educational process to move forward. But I have a serious question personally about the need to immediately jump to the fact that we want to add additional taxes. How would you stand on that? And I don't want to put you on the spot, and it doesn't have to be poured in concrete, but have you considered that, and whether you think there's a need to for the citizens of Jacksonville to consider a half-cent sales tax addition in order to do that, or should we dig into the crevices of our present budget and see where there can be some belt tightening and make that decision without adding taxes on our people?
Well, you know, the school board has its own taxing authority. Of course, it has to go through the council for some approval. You're right. With me running and doing a lot of things, I haven't paid a great deal of attention to that. But I think you let the taxpayers decide on that, maybe put it on a referendum. I'm not so sure a special election is the way to go either. I think that you have too much of a low turnout, kind of like where we're at now. And I think it has to be in an election period where there's a volume of voters who can make a good decision. I think it's important that school board have a solid plan. plan. I don't think that they have a solid plan. There's $20 million that is unaccountable for right now.
Yes.
That they haven't. So we need to go back and take a look at some things, have a common master plan of the direction you want to go, and then let the voters decide.
We're on the same sheet of music, brother. I'm in agreement with that. They've not come up with a concrete plan. They've not shown, in my opinion, the school board's not shown that they know how to spend a dollar correctly. And as I call it, squeeze the nickel until the Indians ride the buffalo. But we need to be careful with the dollars we have. But I'm in agreement with that. If it's going to be discussed, talked about the city council, I think the best approach for the city council with that would be, and that's after you own the 19-member city council, is to defer that and set it up for a referendum. Referendum, I think, where the people can vote. And I believe it should be November 2020, not something that's done off the cuff and immediately where we're automatically taxing the people an additional 7%. Give the people an opportunity to say yes or no on that. When it comes to moral and ethical issues, Greg, do you believe that our city needs to control the pot shops? And I understand that's a hot topic with a lot of people, but all those that have listened to this broadcast for years and years and years realize that I stand against the marijuana, whether it's medical marijuana or whether it is recreational marijuana. All you need to do is, anybody that has a question about this statement, Google, using that Google thing, as President Bush called it, Google Colorado and the pot industry there. Colorado introduced recreational marijuana, and medical marijuana was their camel's nose that got into the tent that ultimately gave them recreational marijuana. But all crime combined has gone up 546% in Colorado as a result of marijuana. And they sold it to the people, Greg, on the basis that if we would legalize marijuana, we could stop the black market. The black market marijuana in Colorado now far exceeds the legal marijuana, as it's called. The state of Colorado brought in $253 million in taxes in 2018 on marijuana. For each $1 that they brought in on taxes, they spent $4.50 for social services because of marijuana. So I'm saying that as the predicate to making this statement. In the city of Jacksonville, we have pot shops, and they call it medical marijuana. We have pot shops on just about every street corner. Would you be in favor of doing something to help regulate more than it's been now and control the number of outlets for marijuana to be sold in the city of Jacksonville?
Well, the jury is still out on whether medical marijuana is good or not. So, and I think they've already legalized that itself.
Yes.
But when it comes to managing the amount of
outlets
that we have, I think that there should be some regulations. We don't want one on every corner.
Right.
And I think that if it's going to help the people who are using it for medical purposes, yes. But I think that once we start to allow it to grow and just
proliferating.
Proliferating, yeah. Then I think that it gets out of control, and then we start to see some crime and some other notorious things that are starting to happen there.
Yes.
So I would say definitely put a limit on how many we have.
Well, Greg, one of the things that worries me, for example, Sheriff Judd down in Polk County. Sheriff Judd has been dealing with this now in the past 8 or 9 months heavily. Just a few months back, in fact, less than 90 days, 7 kids were rushed to the emergency room in Polk County. One lad had brought some gummy bears to school. They were medical marijuana-laced gummy bears. And you see, there's no federal regulation on how much of the HTC syrup goes into a gummy bear or chewing gum or a chocolate chip cookie or a brownie, et cetera, et cetera. No control on that. None whatsoever. It's the pot shop manufacturers that decide that. And so these kids have gotten it, and 7 of them, 5 were very serious, 2 of them almost died. And we're finding that popping up across the nation with every state that's done anything with opening the Pandora's box for
right.
marijuana in any fashion. So I'm concerned about your kids, my grandkids, and the future of our city with where we're headed, with the denigration and the downward spiral that marijuana brings into a city or state or a nation. So I'm concerned about that. Greg, we've got about a minute and a half left on this broadcast today. Let me leave this minute and a half to you. Let you talk with our people directly and tell them what you want them to do, how they can contact you if they've got a question they need to ask further, where they can reach you by phone or by email or your website. Just tell our listeners whatever you want them to hear and know in relationship to the urgency of this vote and the need to vote for Greg Rochelle on Group 3 at Large City Council. Talk with our people.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. The bottom line is here, you know, I'm running for City Council because I love my community,
Amen.
My city. I love my family and love the people here, and I want our city to be a city of choice. You know, I'm a veteran. I'm an Air Force Marine guy. I want to serve the city, provide new ideas and new solutions. My opponent's been around for 45 years, and he hasn't done the things that he need to do. And so I'm asking you for your vote. I'm asking you to give me an opportunity. What do you got to lose? Let's take a look at me. And if you have any questions or you need information, look at my website at electgreg.com, gregrochelle.com, and I'll be glad to reach out and give you some answers. But again, vote is coming up on May 14th. I'd like to have you vote. I hope I earned your vote, and I will serve you well. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to the election, Greg. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in it. And I pray that God will put you in that position. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Greg Rochelle. Greg Rochelle is running for Group 3 at Large City Council. Greg is a family man. Greg's a military man, a veteran background, married for over 30 years. And he's interested and concerned for our city, as I believe you, our listeners, would be. So let me encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to vote Greg Rochelle, Group 3 at Large City Council. And do so. You can vote now in early voting, or then on May the 14th, which is next Tuesday. Be sure and vote. Vote Republican ticket, and that will get your name for Greg Rochelle on the ballot and for the voting to put him in office to serve us, the city of Jacksonville. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air, once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.